We want to follow him. We know that he leads to life. We know that he leads to blessing. Amen? Why wouldn't you want to follow somebody that's good and pure? You know, every one of us in our heart, we want people to believe that about us, don't we?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Freedom Through Christ and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
But today we're going to be talking about freedom through Christ. Freedom through Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand one last time for the reading of God's holy word. This is going to be in John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Holy Father, we come to you in thanksgiving, God. We pray that you will open our hearts today to receive a spiritual blessing from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I preached a lot of sermons, but I'm here to tell you today that this is a very important one. So it's my prayer that each and every one of our hearts opens up. I was talking with someone this morning who told me that they just don't know how to live the Christian life, that their will is not that strong. And I believe that what I'm about to teach here today is going to help some people if their ears and their hearts are open. Because I get the impression sometimes that people look up here at me and they think, well, he's always been this way. He's always been preacher material. He must have been born that way. But that's not true. I had to learn to release to Jesus, just like any other Christian has to learn to surrender over to Jesus. And today I want to talk about freedom, freedom from sin. I want to talk about getting released from the bondage of the temptations that bombard us every day, and then us giving into those temptations and then following through with them. And it all starts with Jesus Christ. So here's some points that I want to make today. Number one, true freedom only comes from Jesus Christ. Only from Jesus Christ. Number two, freedom through Christ empowers us with the will to obey God. Three, freedom through Christ enables us to freely serve God. And these are three important points that I want to make today. Because sometimes when people come up and talk to me, I feel like some of us are missing the message of Jesus Christ and why he came to set us free. Number one, true freedom only comes from Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is knowing true freedom. John chapter 8, verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, in our society, we had the tendency to run to other things that we believe are going to set us free. For some people, it's money. Some people have the illusion that if they make or get enough money some way, somehow, they'll have more freedoms, that they'll be happier, that that's when everything will be okay, is when the money situation. Other people think that they need to get into shape. Some people think that they just need to work out more and get more exercise and be super healthy, and that will give them more freedom. And there's nothing wrong with being financially healthy, and there's nothing wrong with being physically healthy. And then there's some people that just think that if they live their life any way they want to live it, that's true freedom. They can do whatever they want, no matter what the consequence is for somebody else. None of those is the way to freedom. And then we have the other people who believe that if they just come to church and they sit in the pews, that'll give them some kind of freedom. Again, that is not the way to freedom. Jesus himself is the truth that sets us free. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by Jesus himself is the truth that sets us free? When we accept Jesus Christ and we fill ourselves with his word and the Holy Ghost comes to dwell within us, we start feeling the bondage of the chains of sin breaking away from us. Is somebody out there listening to what I'm saying? It starts with a relationship with Jesus. As I told the gentleman this morning, I said, whatever road that you feel that you're at the end of, you didn't get there overnight. It was in stages. You decided somewhere down the line to go astray from God. And you took a step towards the wrong direction. And when you started walking that direction, you felt in your heart that everything was okay, that everything was going to be all right, that you could handle this. And you might even felt a sense of freedom. And before you knew it, what you believed to be your freedom was your captor. It's the thing that enslaved you. The very thing that you told other people that was none of their business that you were into has got you. And now they're suffering because they love you and they see you suffering. And you're in bondage. But see, Jesus is the truth. He is the truth about God. People always tell me, don't tell me how to believe. I got my own beliefs. Well, where do your beliefs come from? TV, my family, my friends. My mom was a Christian. That makes me a Christian. I've heard it all. You'd be surprised what people believe. But if it's not anchored in the truth of the Word of God, if it's not anchored in Jesus Christ, you're astray. Amen. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. So Jesus himself is the truth that sets us free. We have to start there. All other roads lead to destruction. And for some of us in here, we know what I'm talking about, don't we? You try to do it your way, and you'll see that it doesn't always work out. You see something you want, you go for it. You know it's against God's word. You know you're not supposed to have it. You take it anyways. And you're thinking, wow, this is fun. Why didn't I do this sooner? Until the gavel comes down. Until the pain and the suffering comes down. Until you find yourself locked into a situation that Satan tricked you into. And you feel as if you're in bondage. Because you are. Because sin has got you. Now listen, Christ is the source of truth. The perfect standard of what is right. So if you find yourself doing something that doesn't line up with the character of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're in sin. Jesus was our example and our standard of what is right. Jesus doesn't cuss. Jesus doesn't indulge in alcohol or drugs. Jesus doesn't fornicate. Jesus doesn't commit adultery. Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't steal. Amen. We shouldn't be doing that stuff either. But Pastor, it's fun. It's only fun for a season. The Bible says that sin can be enjoyable for a season. But the Bible also says we reap what we sow. And that God will not be mocked. So if we're storing up wrath for ourselves, we have only ourselves to blame. We can't say the devil made us do it. Amen? But see, as Christians, we're set free. As Christians, God gives us the power to make the right choice. He gives us the ability through the love of Jesus to do the right thing. But we still have our free will. Jesus frees us from the consequence of sin. Now listen to this. I told you in the opening here that there's people dying as we do this service who have never got to accept Jesus Christ because they never chose to. And they're going to hell. I know a lot of preachers don't preach on hell today, but the Bible still talks about it, amen? And hell is a very real place. It is a separation from God, where the fire never dies. The worm never dies. The fire never goes out. It's a horrible place to be, but people choose to be there. When Jesus returns, do you think he wants to keep the world like it is? I don't like the way the world is, do you? I'm sure we all have a complaint about the world. No, God is going to free us from the consequences of sin through his son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, he is going to bring up his bride, the church. The people of Jesus are his bride. And we're going to be saved the consequences of our own sin. We're guilty, but Jesus took upon our sin for himself. Amen? Number two, Jesus frees us from self-deception. Now listen to this. You start comparing yourself to a great basketball player. Maybe it's an NBA star. You know just how bad of a player you are, even if you're the best in the neighborhood. You think you're good at football till you meet up with an NFL player. You think you can box somebody until somebody from the boxing league comes up and takes you a couple of rounds. You compare yourself to Jesus and you'll stop deceiving yourself. You compare yourself to the purity and the beauty and the love and the perfection of Jesus Christ, and you will start saying, Lord, what do you want with a sinner like me? Because you know you're not going to play on no NFL team anytime soon because you can't stand up to them. You show up on the field, they'll throw you off. You don't belong there. You might be a great football player from where you come from, but you don't belong there. But it's different with Jesus. It's different because when we accept Jesus Christ, we are covered with his blood. We are covered, and God accepts us as we are through Jesus Christ because he has taken upon our sins. And now guess what? We belong where we once did not belong, not by our own means, but because of what Jesus did for us, and we accepted that. It would be the same difference if the NFL come to you and said, hey, come join us. Right? It's an invitation. But without the invitation, you can't accept. Well, Jesus is inviting us today to accept him, to believe in him, to follow him, and to stop the self-deception. Stop believing that we got it all together. Stop believing that we're not sinners. Stop believing that we don't hurt other people. Stop believing that we're self-righteous. And then number three, he frees us from the deception from Satan. When you stay close to Jesus and you stay close to God's word and you got Jesus in your heart, you can resist the temptations of the devil. He wants to bring things in your life that you don't need. You might want them. We're not talking about want and need here, right? Some people say, well, I want it so bad, I need it. Amen? You ever been there? Anybody ever want something so bad you just felt like you're going to die without it? You just had to have it. And then once you get it, it's fun for a little while. But then you start reaping what you sowed and you realize, and you start praying a different, oh Lord, please take it away. I'm sorry, God, but it's too late. You did it. You done it. There's consequences. The sin has been full blown and Satan is laughing at you because he set a trap. He gave you something you shouldn't have had and you took it. Eve was not to have the apple or the fruit. And he deceived her. But she knew what God had said. Yet she ate of the fruit that was forbidden. She wanted something because it looked so good at the time. The devil said, hey, this is good for knowledge. And if you eat this fruit, it's going to be as if you were God yourself because your eyes are going to be opened. Oh, her eyes were opened all right, but not in the way that she wanted them open. But Christ empowers us so that we can step away from the devil when he tempts us and say, I don't want what you have to offer me. However, Christ does not free us to do whatever we want, but instead to follow God the Father. Hear me out. There are some Christians who use their salvation as an excuse to keep on sinning. Well, I'm saved from hell. Might as well enjoy myself now because I'm free. That's ridiculous. I would argue you were ever saved if you got that kind of attitude, because that's not repentance. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 30. Listen to this. And I want all your ears open to this one. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Stop lying, guys. That goes for me too. No lying. We're not allowed to do it. For we are all members of one body. In your anger. Somebody in here got an anger issue? Well, listen to what the Bible says. In your anger, do not sin. It didn't say you can't be angry, but you can't sin. When you start sinning in your anger, you're stepping out of the Word of God. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. You know what that means? Get over it real quick. Don't sit there in your bed at night, stewing in your sleep, thinking about what you're going to do to the person that upset you. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. No gossiping, no rumor spreading, no cursing, no belittling people, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Listen, God's going to come back and he's going to call us back up to heaven. He's going to call us to heaven. And we want, when he appears, when we see Jesus, we don't want to be explaining to ourselves what we were doing with our time down here. Salvation is a gift that the Lord has given us. We don't want to waste that gift. Number two, freedom through Christ empowers us with the will to obey God. What do I mean by that? Well, we have a free will. People always tell me I'm free to do whatever I want to do with and how I want to do it, with whoever I want to do it with, however I want to do it. You do. But through Christ, we have the ability to change our will for his sake. Listen to this. To know Jesus is to love him, and to love Jesus is to obey him. Now, what do I mean by this? It starts with love. If you love somebody, are you going to do something for them? Right? I've seen people clean their cars to the point of perfection. And you ask them, why do you spend all that time on your cars? I love my car. I love my car. I've seen ladies clean their homes. Why do you clean it so perfectly? I love my house. I love my house. You will do things for the things you love. Right? Listen to what Jesus says. John 14, 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so if you love somebody, you're going to do what they ask you. If you don't love somebody, you're not going to do what they ask you. Non-believers, they're ruled by sin. Whereas believers are ruled by the grace of Christ. See the difference? Look at somebody who's not going to church. Look at somebody who's not living the Christian life, and you will be seeing somebody who's being controlled by sin. They're carried away by it. John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When we're believers, we can hear Jesus calling us, and we follow him. We want to follow him. We know that he leads to life. We know that he leads to blessing. Amen? Why wouldn't you want to follow somebody that's good and pure? You know, every one of us in our heart, we want people to believe that about us, don't we? Come on. You can sit there and lie to somebody and tell them, I'm not a liar. You can sit there and steal something from somebody and say, I'm not a thief. And you only deny it, even if you couldn't get in trouble for it, because you're ashamed of what you did, because that's not how you want people to look at you. Everybody says, oh, I want respect. I want respect. But none of us seem to want to earn that respect. But Christ earns our respect. He is the truth, yet we don't want to listen to him. But if you are a believer, you will follow him and you will listen to him. And that's what he sets us free from, the snares of the devil. Christ gives us the freedom to obey God out of desire rather than duty. This is the big difference, okay? Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When I first read that, I was thinking about cars and a big house and money and everything I was lacking in my life at the time. That's not what it means. See, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he becomes our desire. And when he becomes our desire, he's going to give us himself. That's pretty deep. Let me say it again. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he becomes our desire. Not the cars, not the houses, not the money, not the things. He himself becomes our desire. And when he becomes our desire, he will give himself over to us in love, fellowship, his presence. Amen? You guys want joy? You want peace? You want happiness? You're not going to get it out there. Because as soon as you get it, somebody's going to take it from you. The tax man cometh. You get a good job, the tax man take that away from you. You get a nice car, it can get into a wreck. You get a nice house, it'll get old and fall apart. You get healthy, you're going to get old and fall apart. Pieces don't work as good on me as they used to. But that's the freedom we get from Jesus. It's eternal. It's eternal. And in my life, I have been financially well off, and I have been financially badly off. And I've come to realize something, that none of it matters, because it all comes to an end. No matter what you get in this lifetime, it's all going to be gone one day. And you know, the devil likes to turn that around and say, well, you better enjoy it now. But that's a mistake. Because if you're enjoying it out of the will of God, you are setting up wrath for yourself. And I'm almost done here. Freedom through Christ enables us to freely serve God. There's a difference between obeying God and serving God. There's a difference. Serving actually means of giving yourself. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Our level of faith in God can be seen by our level of service to him. What was that, James? Our level of faith in God can be seen by our level of service to him. If you believe in something, you're going to work for it. James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. In other words, if you believe in something, you're going to be working for it. You believe in this church, you're going to come here and support it. Conclusion, we cannot set ourselves free from the bondage of sin. Stop trying to do it on your own strength. If an addiction has got you, if a habit has got you, if a way of life has got you in bondage, stop trying to break it on your own and start throwing it on to God. Start reading your Bible, start praying to him, start worshiping him, start speaking about him, start learning about him, but more than that, start knowing him. Because you can't do it on your own. He's got to pull you out of the fire that you're in. You can't do it. You're not strong enough. I wasn't strong enough. But you do have to make the choice that you want him, that you want something more than what you had in this life, that there's got to be a better life than what you're going now. Some people struggle with depression and they don't think, oh, I can ever break this bondage of depression. I take the pills. I go to the psychiatrist and nothing is helping me. But let me tell you something. There is a great counselor called Jesus Christ. And when you spend time alone with him, and you are reading his word and you are loving and worshiping him, that depression will lift off of you that no doctor could write a prescription for. And you go back to that doctor and you're giving him counseling. Some of you think I'm kidding. I've seen it. I have seen people get out of depression and they become counselors themselves. And their doctors are baffled. But they did it through Jesus. They did not do it through the world. The world will fail you. Our freedom must not be wasted. Now that you're free, now that you know you're not going to hell, you are free to live your life for Jesus. He has given you the tools to live your life. Listen, the fact that all of us here today are in church is giving you one tool right there. You're in church. That's the first step, right? You're here worshiping. You're here hearing the word of God. That's part of your tools. I even give out Bibles here. There's another tool. You cannot come to God and say, I don't have the tools. But more than that, you had the Holy Spirit. Above everything else that I mentioned, you had the Holy Spirit. But are you nurturing the Holy Spirit? Are you feeding the Holy Spirit? And three, we must repent and believe on Christ to receive true freedom. Listen, some people say, I'll go to church, but I won't quit sinning. Everything will be okay. You got to repent. You got to turn away from your sins. You got to say, God, I don't want to do this anymore. Help me. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry. Don't do that when you're still doing the sin. You're not convincing him. You're not convincing me. And you certainly aren't fooling yourself. Repent. Because if you don't, there's a price to pay, and it's the price that you set upon yourself. Your sin reflects the value that you think of yourself. You hear what I just said? Whatever it is you're into, that's how you value yourself. So if you think that you're worth another drug, or if you're worth another adulterous action, or you're worth another cuss word, or you're worth another broken friendship through anger, that's the price you put on yourself. Amen? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm speaking truth up here. There's things in our lives we have to say no to. We have to walk away from. And the first thing we have to say yes to is Jesus.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.